Good evening, friends. This is Carolyn Evers. After a long stay, I'm finally back. I want you to know that I'm here, touching
Indeed
you,
you are.
and hoping you're out there and will touch me. So, our guest tonight is Van Gogh or Van Gogh, depending upon how you pronounce his name, and Richard will be receiving a message from him. And what you need to do if you wish to participate in that experience, if you know what he looked like, see his picture in your third eye and listen to what Richard says as he describes his energies. Richard.
It's very interesting. He has quite a powerful energy. It's certainly has love as a component, but it's like this almost bubbling energy, very strong energy, surprisingly vibrant and active. It's almost like a boiling cauldron, almost. Very interesting kind of energy. I can't say I've experienced an energy like this before. Quite strong, as I say. Turbulent energy, full of vitality, actually, I would say. Very interesting.
Does he have a message for us today?
Hopefully so. Let's see. But before I go after his message, Carolyn, I want to take the opportunity to welcome you back because
Thank you, dear. It's been quite a while.
It's been a long road that you've been walking, and I must say you've come home in a pretty bright place, and people listening to you can hear that. You're alert, you're sharp, you're on the money, giving me cheek already. It's
And sometimes I felt like I was crawling, but I'm here.
Indeed. So let's see what message he has for us. I firstly wish to say thank you for the opportunity to come forth in this manner. It is not something that you expect when you leave that existence, you might say, not understanding for the most part or for most people what lies beyond the human journey, but a great deal exists beyond the human journey, and most people cross over with no understanding of what it's about. As you might appreciate, religions and most other traditions of the world don't really understand the true nature of the human journey and hence what lies beyond it. And so that's part of what I wish to cover, but as I said, I wish to give my thanks and appreciation for this opportunity to participate in this extraordinary manner as I am able to do here tonight. So I thank these two for making this opportunity available to me. I feel very privileged that this opportunity has been offered to me. And so it has taken us a while to have this happen. We had a false start some weeks ago, as some of you may recall, but we are here alive and well, and I'm confident that we will pass through all of this without any great challenge or difficulty, and allow me to share a few things with you. Firstly, I'd like to begin with a few comments upon my life, because many people looked upon me as something of a lost soul, something of an individual who suffered from mental health, which was true in a sense, but also someone whose skills were cut short by a foreshortened life. And I cannot say that life was easy for me, because it certainly was not easy for me. It was, in fact, a very challenging journey that I walked. And even though it was challenging on many levels, really from a fairly young age, I always had a very positive view of life, of humanity, and of nature, even though I struggled on a level at times for some of the basics because I had very little money whilst I was an artist and was supported by my very generous brother. In truth, within that struggle, there was not just a peace, but a joy, a wonder in life. And this may sound strange to you because most people's perception is that I was a sad, lost, struggling individual. And yet, if you look at my artwork, particularly that which has, Carolyn, I don't know what you're doing there, but it's very loud.
Sorry, I hit something.
You did. That's a very good microphone I've given you. It's extremely loud in my ear.
Sorry.
So be good.
I'll do my best.
That's wonderful.
Though I can't guarantee it.
No, you can't guarantee it. I know that. So let me see what Van Gogh is saying. And so, even though on the surface my life seemed such a struggle, within it was not such a struggle. I had such a positive view of the essence of life, and it, as I said, is so clearly expressed in my artwork. There was an understanding, you might say, of life, of nature, in a sense, that flowed through me. And yes, I was working in the time of the Impressionists and in a way was expressing in an Impressionist way. I brought this forth in my own unique way and was driven, you might say, to express the joy that came bubbling forth within me and came forth in my artwork, as you are able to witness. So my artwork really is the reference point by which you should assess my life. And I am honored that even though I was not considered a successful artist in my lifetime, my output, or at least part thereof, has survived the journey through time and today is quite revered in many ways. And I am honored that that has happened. But do not despair for me, either in life or beyond it, because even though on the surface and even though the stories that have come down to you are really stories of great struggle, and yes, there were challenges on the surface, but ultimately I carried a great joy for life, a great wonder for life, the wonder of nature, the wonder of people. And I sought to express those things in my artwork to the best of my ability. And I was so driven to do this that I, as you understand, very rapidly developed my own style of expression that continued to evolve and change through my relatively short career. So I firstly wanted to share that with you. Secondly, I wanted to share with you my experience beyond my death, because my life did end in less than what you might consider ideal circumstances, due really to my mental challenges. And I had no understanding of what life was like beyond the human journey. But what I discovered was truly extraordinary. I have walked a path of great joy beyond life. If I had joy in life, which I did, I have had even greater joy beyond it, because even though I was challenged and I challenged some people in my life, in essence, I was living the life that I had planned to live. And as such, I crossed over with a great deal of peace and joy, and was, you might say, welcomed easily on the other side. And so my experience beyond death has been a very joyful one. And I have continued to journey and study and understand, and I watch over the human journey with great interest. And I simply would say to you to find the joy in your own life, to express that joy that comes up from within, that is independent really of the circumstances in which you find yourself. That was my experience of life, and it is yours for the taking if you choose. Do not be put upon, you might say, by all of the talk of terror and threats and all the rest of it. And I do not wish to get into the detail of that, though I do watch it with interest. And I understand that it is a challenging time in your world. But even though it is challenging on the outside, I encourage you to go within and connect with your own truth, to heal yourselves of whatever is preventing you from experiencing the love that you are, that self-love that is an implicit aspect of being a human being. Indeed, being part of nature. Nature is created. All things are, in essence, created from the essence of love. And so when you understand that, really what happens on the outside is largely irrelevant to you, especially when you build that inner sense of strength and power and self-love. So I encourage you to find this within, because despite the external appearances, that indeed was my experience and continues to be. And so I thank you once more for the opportunity to come forth and speak with you in this manner.
Thank you so much. And Richard, thank you for bringing this information forth. We have a caller, Lynn from Indiana, on line one. Lynn, do you have a question for our guest?
No, I really don't. I'm just listening. This is beautiful. Just someone else would probably have a better question. I just love Van Gogh.
Oh, he'll be glad to hear that.
And well, I love you, too, and Richard, too.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. I'm sure he's glad to hear that. And I would like to ask him a question. I noticed that whether we're talking about painters or sculptors, that usually, or musicians, there will be several that will come into Earth around the same time, bringing forth very similar information. Can Van Gogh comment on this, why this is so?
There are many factors at work in this. Yes, it is true that there are moments when individuals come forth to cooperate, in a sense, to create a body of, you might consider, interrelated work. And you see this in music and in the kind of artistry that I was involved in with painting. And so that is a real factor, but there are also other factors at work, and that is people with a common interest, you might say, in a field such as painting, inevitably are drawn to places where those activities are, you might say, vital. They are active, they are leading edge in a sense. And so in my time, Paris was truly such a center where the Impressionist artists gathered. And so I was drawn there like a moth to a flame, and it certainly helped that my brother Theo was based there managing a gallery. But that was a bonus in a sense and made that path a little easier for me. But I was drawn there because I was aware that there was this ferment of new approach to painting, which was so exciting. And that had come to me in Holland, so I understood this. And so I was drawn to join this group that were, in a sense, creating in this common manner, albeit in their own particular expression. So those two factors really come together in a manner that both reflect individuals that have chosen to come forth in a similar time to add to a particular body of work. And you see this, as I said, in music as well. You might, for example, in the case of music, you might span it over a fair time, going back to people like Telemann and Bach and so on, and then passing down through the time of Mozart and Beethoven and beyond. And so there is that active period, particularly in that time surrounding Beethoven. It is a very interesting phenomenon how these things occur. In the art world today, there is not such an obvious gathering in the way that the Impressionists gathered in Paris. And in my opinion, the majority of the art world, and indeed the music world, has been led off track. It has been distorted by those who control your world, such that it has become what you might consider decadent. It has lost its way, in a sense. It is more about the focus on being abstract than really the focus on truly expressing itself. Of course, there are always exceptions in every moment, both in the art world and in the world of music, that gather the current idiom but bring their essential artistry to the field, and as a result they continue to express in a creative manner. So there is no doubt that there was a group of souls that came forth in my time that formed the heart of the Impressionist painters, and I, in a sense, saw myself as somewhat peripheral to them, not so much being at the heart of what they are about, but as I said, I was drawn like a magnet to them to understand what they were trying to achieve and how they were going about it, because it was so exciting to me, and their influence was so important in how I evolved my own style and expression, and I'm so grateful for what they showed me.
Thank you so much. Lou from New York is online too. Lou, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, first I have a comment. I want to say, Carolyn, it's so good to hear your beautiful, loving voice back.
Oh, thank you, darling.
And Richard, you sound happy too. Relieved, maybe more.
Good day.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm glad to have you back, Carolyn. And also, I had a question. Van Gogh was saying how he had this sense of joy inside of him. And is that the inspiration, is that with his source? Is that what he connected with when he was painting? Because this mental health issue that he had, was he also a cherubim? And was that a difficult path to walk, because when you're that sensitive, sometimes you can be very temperamental, and was that kind of the issue? Did it tie into his creativity, this whole problem that he didn't say what it was, but it was, so whatever mental health issue he had, was that part of his creativity, and was also that the source of his inspiration? It sounds a little, it's a difficult question, but I hope he understands it.
So joy was an essential part of my nature, as I described, and I thank you for your question, because the joy was important, but really it was my love of nature and the love of life, and you could say that is very connected to joy, because it is. But it really was that love of life that was such a motivating factor for me. I wanted to try and explain it in my own way, to express nature in my own unique way. And by nature, I include humanity. As you know, I painted a lot of self-portraits from different perspectives. And it's not that I was self-absorbed. It's simply that I was the most readily available model for painting. So I was drawn really by that love of nature and this drive to express it in the best way that I was able, to convey what I experienced of nature in my own way through my artwork, so that others might have a sense of how I felt about nature. And I believe I achieved that to an extent. I think most people consider there is a vitality in much of my painting that communicates itself to people today. So this was my motivating factor. And you ask about my mental illness. I would not say that my mental illness was a motivating factor, but it's important to understand that someone who is expressing themselves as I was, and with such passion and rapidity, that one walks a very narrow line. There, it is almost a certain mania about that expression that can easily tip over into what you might call mental instability. And really, that was the issue. I became a little manic. And as you well know, I threatened people occasionally because I became a little unbalanced. And it is that mania that is so easily stepped over into when you are so driven as I was to express what I was trying to express. I cannot claim that I was a calm individual, because I was not. I said that there was joy and love, but also great passion to communicate it. And really, you might say it was that passion that, you might say, crossed the line into a form of mania that had me, you might say, incarcerated for a couple of years. So perhaps that helps you understand the knife edge that I was walking.
Thank you for your information. Do you have a favorite picture?
It is a difficult question that you ask, because I continue to walk forward in my expression, and that is what we are, in a sense, all faced with in life, is continuing to move forward. But if you ask me to narrow it down, my paintings of flowers are perhaps my favorites, and perhaps the irises, because of the character that they manage to express in my very, you might consider, rough style, rough expression with paint. And yet when you examine what is expressed there, there is a delicacy. It truly, in my opinion, expresses those flowers as they express. And if you understand the nature of those flowers, they have a very short life. They come forth and flower, and then within a day or two they can collapse, especially the more developed versions. So in a way, that vitality that is expressed also, in a sense, is capturing that fragility, you might call it, that the iris carries. And so it has a fond place for me.
Thank you so much. You remind me of a very observant individual. Can you give us some thoughts of what you perceive coming to Earth in a positive vein?
I'm not sure I understand your question, Carolyn.
Well, we have a lot of negativity in the earth presently.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, through your observation, if you are observing some positive things coming to earth.
As you understand, the world always carries elements of positive and negative elements. They are always present. It is the nature, in a sense, of that consciousness in which you live. And just as the dark is intensifying in your time, you might say, as the activities become more intense in their activities, but at the same time there is an increase in the intensity of the actions of the light, you might say. So I am able to witness both of those things, and I am an optimist as far as the future of humanity is concerned. I will, without wanting to repeat what others have said or go into the details, I will simply say that, in my opinion, you live in a precious time upon the planet, a precious time in history, where great change for the better will come forth, and I am able to witness the unfolding implementation of that change. So I would say to you that even though for most people looking at the world it is in large measure negative, there are many great positive threads, and not only on the grand scale that I speak of, but there are, looking at the field of art in its broadest sense, there are many great musicians and singers and painters and sculptors and so on who are doing their very best to express the vitality, the love, the joy that is contained within life. And that thread continues into your time, just as it existed in mine.
Thank you so much. I want to make sure we picked up on this individual, Lou from New York on line two. Did we hear your question?
Yes, we did.
Thank you. Eddie from Arkansas on line one. Can we have your question?
This is Edie.
Edie, Arkansas. Excuse me.
Yes. Okay, I was just wondering. My sister passed away in May. She was also an impressionist painter, and she studied Mr. Van Gogh extensively. I was just wondering if he's seen her around. She passed away in May. Her name is Phyllis. Don't know if he can answer those kinds of questions.
And what was her name again? I missed that.
My sister, she passed away in May.
Yes. And what was her name?
It was her name is Phyllis Brassett.
Phyllis.
Phyllis, yes. And she loved his work and all the Impressionist painters. And I was wondering if he had contacted her or if he has been in touch with her.
Okay. Your sister Phyllis was drawn to Impressionist painting because there was an aspect sent forth from her monad that was actually present at the time of the Impressionist painters when I was alive. And so she had that connection to a past life in that time. It is what drew her so strongly to that art form. And that aspect was known to me, and indeed well known to all of the Impressionist artists in Paris, because she lived in Paris and was a great benefactor for many of the artists. And so that is the connection that Phyllis, under the surface, had to the Impressionist gang, you might say. And so that's what drew her, and she now understands this, now that she has crossed over and is connected with those other aspects that have been sent forth from her monad. She has a much better understanding of what motivated her and those connections that she held. And So I'm very aware of her, and we have made contact, and of course she has connected with that aspect that lived in the same time as I did.
How beautiful. What a wonderful thought.
Can you tell me her name at that time? Hello?
Yes, that can be difficult. Let me see what I can get. I'm not getting a name, Edie. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I'm glad she has connected with you. She always wanted to. Thank you very much.
I would like to thank you, Richard, for your beautiful work that you do with individuals on the other side. You do have the ability to teach others to do this. I want to remind people of that. You have a great skill in this, and you're quite willing to share this with others. And I would like to also thank our guest, Van Gogh, for being here and offering his thoughts.
We still have a fair bit of time, Carolyn. It's only 9:30. I don't think you have a clock there, do you?
No, I don't have a clock. That's what the problem is.
It should be on your iPad. There should be a time on your iPad screen, I think.
Well, even that, we don't have another caller right now.
That's okay. Do you have any more questions?
No, I don't have any more questions, but I did want to ask you what you might, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up. Do we have some sort of Thanksgiving special that we might suggest to people?
Yes, you've been very willing to offer your services now that you're back on deck, so to speak. And so I suggest we make available to people your wonderful Akashic reading service. We normally do those for $2.95. And so how about we do them for $1.95 if people order them in the next week? What do you think about that?
I like that. Tell people what they might expect if they did order one.
Well, how that works is you send us three questions, and Carolyn goes to the Akashic records in the center of the cosmos and works with the cherubim that look after those records, and she brings forth the answer to those questions from the Akashic records. So what you get is a recording of those answers and a text of that answer, the answers to those questions. So you get both of those as a little package that comes to you. So that'll be on offer for the next week. I'll send you a link for that.
To make this a little sweeter. And how we can make this a little sweeter is for you perhaps to offer your services to teaching people how to communicate with those on the other side. You're so good at it, Richard. You got to share the gifts.
Sure, I'm willing to do that. What are you suggesting?
Well, we could do this.
Same deal for the next week?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So if somebody orders a Right Brain Magic session in the next 7 days, you can have that session for $1.95 instead of $2.95. So there's a little Thanksgiving offer.
And that's plenty to be thankful for. Since I don't have the time here, Richard, how are we tracking?
Oh, we got lots of time. So, some of you may be aware, but Carolyn's birthday is on the 26th of November. So every so often it turns up on Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving this week also is her birthday. So happy birthday for next Thursday, Carolyn.
Thank you, Richard. Sort of the reason why I wanted to offer these specials, sort of like a little birthday special. My birthday gift to you, all those out there listening to this.
And so let's go back to Mr. Van Gogh and see if he has something else he wishes to share.
Surely.
It is a great joy to be aware of the number of people in the world that appreciate my artwork. It really brings joy to my heart. I know that because there are not so many of them, they are held in art galleries or in private collections. But nevertheless, with modern technology, you can appreciate the detail of them to an extent, though there is nothing quite like experiencing them in real life. And I don't just say that about my own art, my own paintings, but indeed about all artwork of this nature. So I encourage you to take the opportunity when you can to experience the great artworks of the world, because they carry a message. They all carry energy. If you have stood in the presence of great artworks, you will feel the message, in a sense, the energy that is being communicated by the artist. The truly great artworks carry this. And the same is true of great music, as you would know. That is, of course, a little easier to sample with modern technology than experiencing the being in the presence of a great piece of art. But nevertheless, I encourage you to sample that experience whenever the opportunity comes your way.
Richard, did we call on Lisa from California?
No, I don't think we did. I think Lisa's just popped up.
Well, what do you say we find out what she wants?
What a good idea.
Lisa, do you have a question, dear?
I do. I'm wondering if you guys could connect perhaps with my guardian angel, because I've been going through a lot this year, and I'm wondering if you can find out, is the bad stuff going to end and the good stuff going to start happening now? Because I need to know.
What's been happening to you, Lisa?
Oh, I won't go into the litany of things, but between my car getting hit and taken away from me because I couldn't afford to fix it, and my health, and like not having any work, like all these things have kind of pummeled me this year. And I haven't given up hope, but I don't know that I can do another year like this.
Yes.
Ever.
what would you suggest to Lisa, Richard?
Well, I'm willing to seek out her guardian angel, or perhaps more appropriately, her soul, maybe. We can do those things. But what I would say from my experience, Lisa, is that firstly, some of us have chosen difficult journeys in this lifetime, and particularly in this current phase of this lifetime, because it is a very challenging time in the world. The support structures supposedly which are there to help us are pretty damaged. As you've identified, employment can be difficult to find, and full-time work as we get a few more years under our belt can become more and more challenging to identify and hold down. And similarly, the general support infrastructure around us is being quite seriously eroded, and in my opinion, quite intentionally. And so many have chosen to walk through this challenging experience. The other thing I would say about it from my own experience, both personally and working with others, is that very often, not always, but very often, these challenges in life, and I can sense you're open to this from what you have been saying, these challenges are directing us to, in a sense, undertake whatever healing remains outstanding for us. There are prompts, if you will, that come up in life to have us not put our store, in a sense, in the life outside, but rather go within and build that base within from which you then begin to rebuild life on the outside, if that makes sense. So,
sure. Why don't you talk to her about the threefold flame, Richard?
Why don't you talk about it? Because you're familiar with it. You can see it. Talk about it, Carolyn.
Okay. We have the heart center. You should have an idea of where the heart might be.
Mm-hmm.
And near that heart is what we call the threefold flame. And there are actually three tongues of flame that come out of this, and they're in different colors. The one color is this beautiful rosy pink. And there is a gorgeous yellow like the sun. And the other flame is cayenne. Look inside your heart center and see if you can see this, the threefold flame. And if you can, stand within it. And if you're not seeing it now, when you meditate, work on it, because you will find it. It's a very important part of the physical body, and it brings great changes. Richard, did you want to talk to her about connecting with her soul?
Well, let me see if I can do that. Lisa has chosen a challenging path in this part of her life, and as you have described, this, you might say, litany of experience has come forth to encourage her to understand the importance of healing within. I know you have not... I know you have not spoken of this, Richard, but Lisa is one who would benefit from your soul healing work. This would help her greatly. So you might talk to her afterwards about this service, because she does have some fundamental work that would help her greatly. I'm not saying that it would suddenly address what is unfolding in her life, but it would help her change her perspective and to strengthen that inner sense of herself, which ultimately is where we all need to begin to build the perspective of the outside. The experience of life arises from within rather than without, and the world in which you all live is directing people to focus on the outside first, and this is fundamentally flawed. And those who are truly walking a spiritual path will find experiences emerge that direct them to address this, and this is what has happened in Lisa's life recently. So be at peace, dear one. I am here working with you all of the time. Do not despair either of your own experience or of the support that you have in a spiritual sense. You are being watched over, but you do need to do some healing work to help yourself, you might say, prepare for the unfolding of events in the world.
Such wisdom, Richard. Thank you. Does Van Gogh have any last words?
Does that answer your question, Lisa?
Sure, and I've been doing a lot of healing work, so I feel like I've gotten that. Like, I feel like that's part of my path. I know how to do that. I'm really well-versed in that. So thank you. I appreciate your help.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye.
So what was your question, Carolyn?
I'm not sure. I had a question. I was making a comment. But I think you covered it.
I think so. Well, I think we've probably covered the ground we're going to cover tonight, Carolyn. We have a little time left, but I think we've addressed most of what Mr. Van Gogh wants to say and answered people's questions and your questions. And so we might wrap up a little early tonight.
That's fine.
I thank you for your contribution and for those who brought forth questions and those who are quietly listening in background and also send me emails saying, yay, welcome back.
And I would like to thank you, Richard, for your wisdom. Anytime we listen to you, this is your wisdom just pours out everywhere.
Thank you.
And I would like to tell my friends out there, when you look into Richard's eyes, those blue eyes of his, you see the wisdom. As I say to him, to know him is to love him.
Thank you.
So, Richard, do you want to close out tonight?
I think so. And so I thank all of you, as I said, for joining us tonight, and those who brought forth questions. We appreciate that. That's very much part of what this show is about. And I thank Van Gogh for coming forth and being so forthright with us and sharing a few more insights into your nature that were not obvious to the world, I would suggest. And so thank you again, Carolyn. And
Richard, we have someone jumped in with a question. Do you think we have time?
Oh, we certainly have time. Roger.
Yes.
Carolyn, good to hear you. And Carolyn, great to have you back on the show again.
Woo-hoo. Thank you, darling. Yeah, coming time for Turkey Day. I do love turkey.
Oh, this is great news. Great news. So the question for, well, obviously I'd love to own one of his paintings. I don't think everybody would like to own one of his paintings. But I wondered if he could comment on Edward Billy Meyer. He is a Swiss guy, and he is a contactee for the Plejarian star system, and they, you know, give him many messages. You know,
Richard, I don't know about you, but I don't wish to go in this direction. I kind of would like to keep it with Van Gogh's experiences, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Is that okay, Richard?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I didn't know whether it would be out of context, but I just wanted to get his opinion of, you know, the information that he was sending out. But we could do that another time.
Yes, that might be better for one of the conference calls, okay. Roger, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we're amenable to discuss these things, but I just don't feel like our radio show right now with our guest Van Gogh is a good place to bring this up, if you don't mind. But we could talk another time. Okay with you, Richard?
Okay, great.
Yeah, sure. And thank you for calling in, Roger. It's always wonderful to hear your joyful voice.
Thanks, you too, guys.
Take care, man.
You want to close out, Richard?
I think Edie has come back on. Edie, did you have another question?
Yes, I did. In reference to Mr. Van Gogh, I was just wondering, if my sister has any messages for me, maybe concerning her artwork that is still around and her children that are in charge of it, if she has any messages.
You know, this is another kind of a question, Edie. I really want to give you this information, but it kind of dilutes what we're doing here. Richard, you have any suggestions where we might do this?
I think we'll just quickly answer it for Carolyn. It's okay.
Okay.
My dear Edie, my advice to you is to allow the children to decide whatever it is that they will decide as far as the artwork is concerned. It is very easy for families to get into arguments over these things. The artwork has been left in their care, and you may not agree with their choices, but you need to allow them to make their choices, because it is their choices to make. And you may understand that quite a deal of my artwork was lost because I provided it to people under different circumstances, and some of it was simply pencil drawings that have been lost to time. And it is the nature of art in general, and it is the nature of the human journey. Quite a lot of Bach's music was lost, as you perhaps know, even though a great deal of his output has been rediscovered. There is still a great deal of his work that is known to have been lost. And this can be looked at in a negative way, but in fact it is not such a negative thing in truth. There is an unfolding in life that you need to trust and allow your sister's children to make the choices that they will make and be at peace with whatever they decide.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate your answers. Appreciate your artwork, too. Thank you. And thank you, Richard and Carolyn.
Thank you, Edie. And so, Carolyn, thank you once again. And I think our time is just about chewed up. So until next time, my friends, it's good night for now.
Good night for now.